Welcome, everybody. I'm very happy to be here, as always, in Worcester. So we'll look at a portion together in Luke chapter 13, a very solemn portion. We'll begin reading at verse 23. Luke 13, 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive, agonize, to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. So the Lord will bless this reading. It's, as I said, very, very solemn, what the Lord is bringing before us here. A future scene. The question was, are there few that be saved? And his answer, of course, was in the affirmative. Yes. Agonize. We know what that means. You're agonizing to enter in. And that's what one must do if you're going to be in heaven. Do you understand? You're not going to be there by accident. Half-hearted? No. Agonize. I read about a ship called the Cunarder years ago, but it always stuck with me. A man fell overboard, and they cried, man overboard. So the line went out to this man. He's in the water, and like a lot of sailors, I don't know why, but they can't swim. He's going to drown. He knows he's going to drown, and the ship's moving. So he threw out a lifeline to him, and he saw the lifeline in front of him. And he reached out, and he got a hold of that lifeline, and strong arms pulled him into the ship. Now, he lay on the deck of that ship. He was just exhausted. It took so much out of him, the trauma of that. His whole life's passing before his eyes. I'm going to die. And there's a lifeline. So they worked on him. He could only whisper. A doctor was there. And finally, the captain came over, and he whispered, he said, Captain, I can't let go. I can't let go. I gripped it for my life. It was 4 hours. 4 hours went by before he could release the muscles in his hands. Now, he was no fool. He knew, if I don't get this lifeline right now, I may never have another one in front of my eyes, because I'll be down, and I'll be drowned, and I will die. That's agonizing to get in to heaven. Now, I say to you, as the gospel is preached, every time it's preached, it's a lifeline being thrown out to you. If you're here and you're not saved, if you don't know him, this is a lifeline thrown out to you this morning. God brought you here this morning. There's no accident that you're here. None. Never an accident when anybody hears the gospel preached. It's so important. The most important event in your life is to connect with Christ and to be sure of heaven. So it's a lifeline being thrown out to you. And may you think of that man did. Will I ever have another opportunity? Will I ever have the lifeline before me again? You may not. Do consider that. If God speaks to your heart this morning, then now's the time to come. He's you, come now. Come now. If you hear my voice, he said in Revelation 20, open the door to your heart now. Right now. Open the door. And I'll come in. And how do you know you'll ever hear his voice again? How do you know that? There are people every day, they hear his voice, they do not open the door of their heart, they go on their way, and they think, oh, he'll call me again, and he never, ever did, never. So I would just say to you this morning, if God speaks to your heart, don't be thinking it's a light thing, it's no small thing now. God brought you here, and he speaks to your heart, him. Though may it be him, never mind me, I'm just a messenger, that's all that I am, a messenger. It's all about him. So the first point here is strive to enter into what he said. And the word straight is the way. The word straight here is not like a straight line. It means contrary to natural inclinations, the way to heaven. Naturally, a man or woman thinks the way to get right with God is to do better in my life. Be a good man, good woman. Turn over a new leaf and so on. New Year's resolutions and so on. That's how we think. I go to church, I get baptized, I read my Bible and so on and so on. God says no. That's how we naturally think. It's contrary to natural inclinations. Straight is the gate which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. My friend, understand that now. If you get saved, born again, rejoicing in God, you'll be a brand new person, and you'll understand then how few there be that find it. God, thank you. You brought me here this morning, and I heard your voice. You spoke to me. So we have two groups of people here. We have a group of people, sinners, are standing outside the shut door. The door is shut now. The door to heaven's been open a long time, 2,000 years. That's how long suffering God is. But now the door's closed. And one day it'll be closed, my friend. One day it will be closed. That last soul will be saved. The church, living stones, men and women saved by the grace of God. That's the church, the called out company of people. It'll be closed then. So the sinners standing outside the shut door, many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So why? Why are these people not able to enter in? Why? Well, he gives us the reasons why. There are three reasons why they're not able. First of all, they came too late. They came too late. They thought that door would always be open, always open for me. But it closed. To their horror, it closed. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye began to stand without and to knock at the door. Isaiah 1:18, God says, you come now. Come now. Let's reason together. Very reasonable. Think. Reasonable. Why did he come down from heaven? Would he come down from heaven if it wasn't necessary? Of course not. It was necessary that he came down. We need him. A sinner needs a Savior. That's why they called his name Jesus, capital J-E-S-U-S. He shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior, and a sinner needs a Savior. Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? I'm saved. By the grace of God, I'm saved now. He's my Savior. They came too late. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. God is saying, listen to me, understand. I won't always be near. You won't always be able to find me. How many are gone to eternity? Generation after generation after generation, they're gone now. and they never came. They never sought him. Well, he may be found. They can't find him now, I'll tell you that. There's nobody knocking on any harsh doors in hell. Nobody is hearing that knock on their harsh door. A time when thou mayest be found, David said in Psalm 32. This is a time this morning when he may be found of you. You can find him this morning. He's right outside your heart's door, right now, knocking at your heart's door. You hear my voice? You hear my voice? Never mind the guy standing up here, never mind his voice. Do you hear my voice in your heart? Then open the door. And you'll never regret opening that door. Never, never once in your life will you regret the day you opened the door and embraced him as your Lord and Savior. A group of hunters from England were in India, tiger hunters. And usually wealthy men did that, you know. So anyway, they had refuge huts. Because if you wound a tiger, you don't kill it, but you wound it. You better find some place to go for safety because you're not going to live very long. So the hunter, the group of them were there, he wounded a tiger. But he said, I know where the refuge hut is, not far. And he ran to the refuge hut, expecting the door to be open. And to his horror, it was locked. What happened? Nobody knows what happened. It wasn't open. It's supposed to be open all the time. It wasn't. And that tiger devoured that man at the door. A little illustration. The door is not going to be open forever. One day, in a meeting like this maybe, somebody is going to trust Christ as their Savior. The church will be complete. And that's all. He will step to the air and return. The rapture home is church. And also they called him Lord, but he was not their Lord. He wasn't their Lord at all. Knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. You're my Lord. You're my Lord. And he said to them, Luke 6:46, he said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord? Why are you calling me that? You don't do the things that I say. You don't live for me. You just go through your day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Making my plans next week, next month. I'm not your Lord. I never was your Lord. A Lord is, yes, my Lord, my Lord. He said, I'm not your Lord. They called him Lord, but he wasn't their Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me. Matthew 7:28. He said, many are going to say to me, well, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. That's how I live my life, Lord. You know that. In your name, I did many wonderful works. And he will say the same thing to them. You depart from me. I never knew you. I was never your Lord. You called me Lord, but your heart was far from me. Far from me. So where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Is it with him? Or is it still with you? My will be done. You go through your life that way. My friend, you're playing a dangerous, dangerous game. Dangerous. You die in your sins, there's no hope for you. No hope. All kinds of hope now. Here you are this morning, hearing the invitation come, and he won't turn you away. He'll receive you. Luke 19:14, here's the bottom line. We will not have this man to reign over us. That's the bottom line. And those are the ones who will be in Gehenna, the eternal prison house of the lost, the damned, with no hope of ever getting out. Why? Because we would not have that man to reign over us. The word reign means to be king. To have sovereign rule over me. The right to control my life. He has the right to control my life. And people say, no, no. I will not have him controlling my life. I control my life. I control it. I do what I want to do. I make my own plans. He does not control my life. My friend, that's why he said you must repent. Change your mind. Except a man repent, you will perish in hell for eternity. And justly so, he'll send you away. You will not have him reign over you. That's a requirement. See, God's the one. God is the one who makes the rules. God makes the rules. We don't make them. We don't negotiate with God. He's, you come to me now in repentance and step down from the throne of your heart. Step down and crown my son Lord of your life. Now I'll receive you into my family. Now I'll be your savior from sin. But not until you step down from that throne and crown my son Lord of our life. Psalm 12 and 4. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Huh? That's the world. That's the world. My lips are my own. Who's Lord over me? Nobody. Nobody. Bob Dylan challenged himself in one of his songs. He said, have I surrendered to the will of God? Or am I still acting like the boss? Are you still acting like the boss? Or have you surrendered your life to the will of God? So they came too late. They called him Lord, but he was not their Lord. And they're standing because they had no personal relationship with him. That's the bottom line. A personal relationship with him. Do you know him? Notice the key here. He said it twice to them. Twice. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not. I tell you, I know you not. So does he know you? Do you pray to him? Do you pray? Do you kneel down and say, Lord, here I am. You hear my voice, your eyes upon me. Lord, you know me. I know you. Is that your experience? Or you just live your life for you, just carry on day after day doing my will be done. My friend, we're talking here about very solemn things because you're going to check out of your body one day. Death is separation. Separation. The deceased means a journey out. You journey out of your body. Your body goes in the ground, they burn it. But you are going on for all eternity. All eternity. In heaven above, if you choose Christ as your Savior, you choose him as Lord of your life, or as Gehenna. And that's hell. And why are you in Gehenna? Why are you there? Because I didn't want to know him. I did not want to know him. No interest in him. I want all kinds of people. I have lots of friends in my life. Friends, I want to know them. But not him. No. I never knew you. Depart from me. He told them what they were. They had no idea. Ye workers of iniquity. You think you're a good person. I thought the same before I was saved. I thought a pretty good person. Oh, God knows me. I would think God knows me. I wouldn't hurt anybody. I'm not mean. Oh, he'll receive me into heaven. I think that way. I had no idea of the truth of God's word. God says, no, no, no. There's none righteous, no, not one. None that does good, no, not one. Not one person. You're a worker of iniquity. Living my life for me, going my way in life, is an evil way in itself. Living my life independent of God, no God for me, that is sin. And you die in your sins unforgiven. Whither I go, ye cannot come. They're sent away in silence to be eternally separated from him. There'll be no conversations up there. Nobody's talking to him up there. Nobody. Not one word will be spoken. You're standing before the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who humbled himself and came down. He'll show you one pierced hand and shut the mouths of everybody forever. Nobody will have anything to say to him because they'll all know the truth in their hearts. I would not have you reign over me. I didn't want to know you. There'd be nobody saying, well, Lord, well, Lord, well, Lord. No. Every mouth will be stopped. Mark Twain was in Europe having a tour over there, country to country, his daughter with him. In the end, they were in Paris and a big banquet, and all the people were there, you know, and now they're leaving, going to go back to USA. And his daughter said to him, she said, Daddy, boy, it seems to me like you know everybody, but you don't know God. You don't know God. She recognized that in her father. Can people recognize in your life that you know God? You know him? You have to know him, my friend. Why would you not know him? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend who loves you at all times. He's real. He's real. The reality of Christ living in me. I pray this morning he might speak to your heart and you'll trust him. He'll not disappoint you. He only loves you, has your good in mind, not taking anything away from you, nothing. The devil's the one who takes and takes and takes away. God gives and gives and gives as your friend. So these sinners standing outside the door, they didn't know him, but the ones sitting inside the kingdom, they're inside heaven's door, they had a relationship with him. And they obviously sought him, and they found him in time, didn't they? They sought him, they understood what God is saying, seek me with all your heart, and you'll find me. And they did, and that God, he promised that, you shall be found of me. I am the door. I am the door. Come to me and enter in through the door. The open door, open now. But above that door it says sinners only. Sinners only enter this door. A man, I think of me in his 30s. I lived in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia for a while. I was at Halifax. There's a ferry that goes across there. It only takes about maybe 15 minutes for the ferry to cross. And like Dartmouth is almost a suburb of Halifax. Many people work in Halifax. This man was brought up in the gospel, his family. They actually brought him to meetings like this one. He knew the truth. But now he's out of university on his own. No God for me. His heart's on things down here. Living his life for him. Not even thinking about God. So one day he's in a hurry to get to work. It's important he gets there on time. He's hurrying in his car to the ferry. And he gets there, and just as he does, the door closed on that ferry. And he sat there, had to only 15 minutes across and back, half hour, he'd be over there. And God spoke to his heart. Brought a verse back to his heart. He had memorized this verse in Sunday school and heard it preached in the gospel so many times, Matthew 25 and 10, and the door was shut. And the door was shut. And he's thinking now about this. If that was heaven's door, I'd be left behind forever. And God spoke to him. And when he got to work, he walked into the office and he said to the secretary, hold all calls. I'm going to lock my door. Down on his knees he went and he wept. He wept like a baby. Said, Lord, thank you for sparing me all these years. I'm trying to forget you. You know that. Trying to forget you, run away from you, hide from you. But you never stopped. You never stopped, Lord. And now this morning you spoke to me. And I thank you, the door's not shut, Lord. The door's open, and now I come. May he bless you this morning. Heaven is Christ, my friend. Heaven is Christ. You choose Christ, you're choosing heaven as your home. A man who's an atheist tries to believe, oh, there's no God. No God. Trying to convince himself. Deep down, they all know. Everybody knows. there is a God. He's a moral God. That's why my conscience bothers me. But they try and convince themselves. The next doorless atheist was a little boy, around 12, and he loved the Lord. Went to church every Sunday morning with his Bible. And he troubled the atheist. His faith troubled him. Did he see him going by his house? So one more, he decided, I'm going to trouble that boy. I'm going to shake his faith. So he walks out the sidewalk. He says, boy, where are you going? And he, I'm going to church. What are you going to do there? I'm going to learn more about Jesus. Oh, are you really? Tell me something. What if you died and went to heaven and Jesus wasn't there? Boy, what would you do? He said, well, I suppose I'd go and look for him. Ah, now he's right eye to eye with the boy. Suppose you found out that Jesus was in hell. What then? And to his surprise, the boy smiled and said, sir, you don't understand. Because if Jesus was in hell, it wouldn't be hell anymore. Because where Jesus is, that's heaven. That's heaven. And on his way to church, and left him standing there with his mouth open, thinking that one. You understand? You want heaven? Heaven's Christ. Heaven is Christ. Receive him as your Lord and Savior this morning. You're choosing heaven. And what do I have to do to go to hell? What do I do to go to hell? I just don't choose him. Just stay away from him. Live your life the way you're living. Just carry on, carry on, carry on, one day at a time, until you die. And you will go to hell because you rejected him. You didn't want to know him. And the door to hell will be closed from the inside. Inside. Why are they in hell? Because they wanted to go to hell. They didn't want him. They didn't want him. I would not have this man reign over me. No. I will not know him as my friend. I will live my life the way I please. In so doing, you chose hell. So they're resting. They're resting. They're sitting and resting in the finished work of Christ. Do you understand what Christ did for you, my friend? He took all your sins to himself. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him, no sin. He came down from heaven and took your sin, your sins to himself, and the Father punished him that you might never be punished. You see how much God loves you? He wants you in heaven. He wants you to enjoy your life. Life begins with Christ. You don't even begin to live until you know him. Life as God intended it to be, the very life of God in me. That's what you receive. Life is Christ. Life is Christ. But you have to let go of whatever it is you're holding on to. They knew him. I'm going to be quiet now. They knew him. What time is it? I'm sorry, my eyes. What?
11:45.
What?
11:45.
Oh, why? Are you kidding me? I thought it was after 12. I need my operation really bad. I tell you. They're going to sleep and do both eyes at once. So I'm waiting. Hi, here I'm hurrying to get over here. Hey, well, I got a little bit more time. Hi, thank you. Okay. Boy, 11:45. All right. Well, okay, they're sitting and resting in the finished work of Christ. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, your faith in Christ is counted as righteousness. That's why they're resting. They're sitting and resting, not standing. They're resting in the finished work of Christ. He died for me. He died for you. You can rest in that, in the promise of God. A mother asked her little girl, and what are you depending on to go to heaven, my dear? And the girl surprised her. She's only about maybe 10 or 11. She said, on the justice of God. And the mother, you mean the mercy of God, don't you, dear? She said, no, the justice of God. Well, she, you got to sit down and tell me what you mean by that now. She said, well, Mommy, I understand that God the Father has judged his son for my sins. And he was satisfied. He was satisfied with the judgment that his son took for me. Now, it would not be just for God to judge me too. He already judged his son for my sins. It wouldn't be just of God to judge me too. That's pretty simple to understand, isn't it? You're only 11 years old. God will not judge you. He will not judge you. He promised you that. There's no judgment for anybody who's in Christ. No judgment. Because he bore the judgment already for you. In love, he did that for you. Righteous Bonner wrote with these words, upon a life I have not lived, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I sit and I rest. I shall not cry, never. Not on the tears that I have shed, not on the labors I have done, another's tears, another's work, on these I sit and rest alone. Well, you can rest on those, Mike. You can rest in that. This morning you can be saved. Did you know that? You could be saved this morning as you sit right in your pew. In your heart now, you say, Lord, you spoke to me this morning. I don't want to go to hell, Lord. And I know what I've been doing. I've been resisting him. I've been keeping him out of my life. I was afraid. He's going to take away my happiness. But now I understand he only has joy in store for me. So Father, now I come to you. I take sides with you, God, against me. I'm just what you say I am. I'm a worker of iniquity. That's all that I am. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of heaven. Would you pray that prayer to God? I'm not worthy of heaven. Lord, I'm worthy of hell. That's what I deserve, Lord. But I thank you. Grace, or by grace, unmerited favor. I'm going to receive something I don't deserve. Salvation, grace, saved through faith in Christ. I now put my faith in him. I receive him as Lord of my life. I turn around. Lord, not my will be done. Not my will. No. Thy will be done. Thy will. This book's my life now. I pray. Man of prayer now. Woman of prayer. Of the word. I want to obey you. Be Lord of my life. Lord Jesus Christ, now I step down. I receive as Lord of my life. I hope you understand what I'm saying to you. Very simple. Very simple. Give it up. Just give it up. And trust him. I died for all your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Yesterday's sins, today's sins, and the ones I haven't even committed yet are all under the blood, a righteous standing before God. You can pray. Just pray. If you don't do it here, then when you get home, do it. Just do it. Get right with God, my friend. Get right with God. You don't want to die and go to hell. The rich man died in Luke 16. Not a parable. He died and was buried. Body's buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He's in hell. I'm in torment. I'm torment. He wanted a drop of water. All he wanted. He didn't get it. A great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. And there's no hope for you. He's still there today. That rich man's still there today. Suffering, consciously suffering, and remembering too. Because Abraham said, son, remember. And you'll remember this morning. You remember being here this morning. I'll tell you right now, you'll remember. That's a gnashing of teeth in anger. Gnashing of teeth is anger. Why will you be angry? Because I didn't have to be here. Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I come? Why? I didn't have to be here. And then there'll be people angry with God. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be here when they did. My friend, I just encourage you, get right with God now. You get right with God. He called his own sheep by name. He called his own by name. Does he know your name? You see, these people here, he didn't know their name. I never knew you. I never knew you. And why didn't they know him? They didn't want to know him. They didn't want to. And I'm known of mine. Let go, whatever it is you're holding. I don't know what you're holding on. I have no idea what you're holding on to. None. What could it be? What could it be in place of what he's offering you now? And you know yourself, Christians are a joyful people. We're a joyful, joyful people. When I awake, I'm still with thee. No matter what's going on in my life, the joy of the Lord is mine. Every single morning I wake up, it's mine. Every Christian has that joy and a fellowship with him. You can have that. You see a sad people, God's people, long donkey faces walking around. You don't see that, do you? No. Joy and peace and love in our hearts. And a blessed hope. He's coming soon. And he's going to take me. He's going to take me. He knows me. Loves me. I'm going to see him one day. It was a vase. Very well painted vase. Passed down from generation to generation. Mother to daughter. Mother to daughter. I think it went on for four generations. Highly valued. One day a father's sitting in this living room. He looks over at his daughter, and she has that vase up in the air. Her hand's in it, and she's holding it in the air. He said, my dear, gently, gently, I'll help you. Put the vase down. Take your hand out. She said, Daddy, I can't. What do you mean you can't? You put your hand in the vase, take your hand out of the vase. Well, I can't. She went over, took her hand, her wrist, and she was right. It would not come out of the vase. He pulled and he pulled and he pulled. So he got some grease or something. He put it all over her wrist. Tried to pull it out. It wouldn't come out. He said, my dear, listen. The only way to get your hand out, if you can't get it out, we got to break the vase and you'll break your mother's heart. It's irreplaceable. My dear, would you do your very, very best for Daddy? Take your hand out of the vase, please. She said, Daddy, if I do that, I have to let go of the penny. He said, what penny? There was a penny at the bottom of the vase, Daddy, and I got it. That's why your hand wouldn't come out. She had a fist now. She was afraid to let go of the penny. He says, that's all it is. You got a penny in your hand. He said, my dear, listen to Daddy now. You let go of that penny. I will give you a 100 pennies. 100 pennies, dear, all for you. If you just let go of that penny and take your hand out of the vase. She said, you promise, Daddy? I promise. Out came the hand. Let go of the penny. He gave her the 100 pennies. So whatever it is you're holding on to in life, whatever it is, no matter what a man or woman has, doesn't matter. It's only a penny. They're holding on to a penny. The riches are waiting you in Christ. Riches. And people are afraid to let go of that penny. Would you let go whatever it is you're holding on to this morning? Just let go. Let go. Trust him. With all your heart. Lord, I let go. I let go now. Turn my life over to you. May he bless this word to your heart now. We'll just pray, Father in heaven. We thank you, Father, for the gospel message. It's the power of God, dynamite of God unto salvation, Father, to everyone who believes. So, Father, we pray for anyone here this morning who has never believed. Their heart's deceiving them, Father. They think they have time. One day at a time, Father. Father, speak to them, we pray. Wake them up, Father. Wake them up to realize, Father, this morning was a very special morning, Father, in their lives. You brought them here. to hear you, Father, hear thy voice, Father. And if they heard thy voice, Father, and they know it, we pray, our God, together as your people, lifting up our hearts as one, open their eyes of understanding, Father, and may this be the day they surrender their lives to thee, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe on him as their Savior from sin. So we thank you, Father, and commit all to thee, the gospel to thee, in that worthy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.